Some of you are like, oh, thanks for bringing that up. How many of you built a wall? Don't raise your hands. But how many of you have built a wall, a 2x4 wall, and then you look at it and it's just real wavy? After you get the sheetrock on it and you get it painted. That's what texture's for, by the way. But it doesn't hide everything. It just doesn't hide everything. Walls. We're gonna read first Psalm 127, verse 1. God's word says this: unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Now, you may have memorized this version out of the King James Version. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor, labor in vain. And so we're going to kind of take a look at that aspect today. But look at the second part. It says, unless the Lord builds a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It doesn't matter if there are people to protect it. If the Lord's not involved, then guess what? You don't have enough. But with the Lord, you have, as I mentioned a moment ago, you have more than enough. With the Lord's help, we can do all things. He can do all things, and he can do all things through us, in us, and through us. God needs to be part of our building, don't you think? I'm not talking about this structure that we see. What I'm talking about today is the spiritual house of each individual believers, but also us corporately as a body of believers. And so with that in mind, let's look at Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Now, let me help you to understand. This was a prophetic word that God gave to his servant Isaiah, the prophet. And Isaiah was speaking about a day. He was the prophet telling the folks, hey, listen, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, God is going to judge you. Okay? And matter of fact, that happened. But Isaiah was also saying, hey, one of these days, God is going to also bring you home and restore you. And in that day, you will be happy because you will understand God's salvation. You will understand that God, he uses this terminology. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. In other words, God's salvation would be to them as walls around them and around their city. And the same is true for us. We want God's salvation to be walls around us, don't we? And it's only his salvation. He's the only one who can protect us. Because guess what? There is an enemy. His name's the devil. And no thing of this earth can protect us from him, only the Lord. Isn't that awesome? God is enough still. Let's look at this next verse again in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18. Violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. That was war of God was bringing judgment against them for their sin, their wickedness. And they were even going to be led away to another city to live. It says that the war is going to end. Salvation, look at this, will surround you like city walls. And praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. That sounds nice, doesn't it? But salvation, once again, is like city walls to the people of God. And so that's the walls that we want to build or rebuild in our lives and in this church and in our community. We want to rebuild these walls. We want to be able to stack stone upon stone, even though we're not really using physical things, material things. We're talking about things such as faith. And of course, I mentioned already salvation. We're talking about righteousness. These are ways that we can build these walls and repair the walls that are around us, around our community. And unfortunately, some of these things have deteriorated over the years. They need to be repaired. Amen? Salvation will surround you like city walls. I was sharing with someone, you know that the Bible says that we can know that we are saved. We can know that we're going to heaven. But Pastor, how can you know that you're going to heaven? Well, it's very simple, because we understand that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if we have our faith in Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us that Jesus makes us right with God the Father. And if Jesus makes us right with God the Father, then guess what? Well, we're right with God. And that points to us being with Him forever in eternity. That would be heaven. And so we can know that we are born again. We can know that we are, another word that we use is saved. We can know that we're going to be in heaven someday. And I've talked to many people over the years, and some would say, oh, well, I hope that I just live a good enough life that God would accept me. It isn't possible, because our lives are stained with sin until we get right with God through Jesus Christ. We've got to allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from those unrighteous acts. Then and only then are we right with God. But we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. So when this life is over, we're going to be standing before God. And we know that God will say, oh, yeah, look, you're covered by the blood of my dear son. Come on in. Right? That was free. That was completely free this morning. The gift of Jesus is completely free, but it will cost you everything. Let salvation surround you like walls. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, where I want to read this passage. This passage also talks about these walls and talks about our behavior as well. In verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes, "So get rid of all evil behavior." What a good idea. Get rid of all evil behavior. "Be done with all deceit." What is deceit? Lying, being dishonest, right? Dishonesty. "Be done with that. Get rid of that. Get rid of hypocrisy." What's hypocrisy? That's saying one thing and doing another. And it's not very attractive, is it? That might be why there's a few empty seats today in all kinds of churches. "Be done with all deceit," that'd be dishonesty. "Be done with hypocrisy. Be done with jealousy. Get rid of that stuff and all unkind speech." Get rid of these evil behaviors. Get rid of these wrong ways of living, right? And then in verse 2, he continues and says, "Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation." So we've got to get rid of that old stuff so that we can begin to grow into a full experience of salvation. We've got to say goodbye to those other things, and we've got to intentionally grow. You know, unfortunately, it's not that time of year right now, but when you plant seed, when it's spring and when it's time to plant, You plant, and once that starts to grow, God makes it grow automatically. But I wish it was the same case for Christians. But guess what? It doesn't appear to be that way to me. It appears that we have to intentionally make plans to grow. We have to intentionally do some things so that we grow. It doesn't happen automatically. Do you know what happens automatically? All we do is sit down and live and let life pass us by and let somebody else do all the work. But what we need to do is we need to grow in our salvation. What we need to do is grow. We need to consider stacking one brick or stone upon another. And allow that to grow. Because if we don't do anything, we don't automatically grow. You have to put some things into practice if you want to grow. That's just the way that it is. And even with the seeds that you plant in the ground, they can use water sometimes to help them grow, can't they? So we want to grow into a full experience of God's salvation. He continues there at the end of that verse, cry out for this nourishment. We need nourishment, church. We need nourishment. That's one reason why you're here this morning. But don't let this be the only nourishment you get all week. Some days you need to nourish yourselves instead of relying on me to do it. Well, how do I do that? It's real easy. Open your Bible, read it, pray, spend time with God, worship. Those three things are ways that you can do that. I would also encourage you can listen to some other podcasts. You can read some books. But we've got to grow. We've got to be growing in our salvation. Amen? Otherwise, guess what? You stay as babies. Everybody say, wah. Okay, you don't want to stay like a baby. You can't stay babies. But unfortunately, that's some of the time what happens is you have a person who's given their heart to Christ and they've been a Christian for 40 years, but they don't know any more than a baby. Yeah. You can say amen or oh me or nothing. It's okay. Verse 3. Now that you have had a taste, I'm sorry, I forgot the last line in verse 2. Cry out for this nourishment. And now verse 3. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Isn't God good? Have you tasted and seen that God is good? That helps us in that growth. That helps us to understand his salvation. And really, church, the more that we do for the Lord, the more that he's going to show up for us. And the more that we're going to be able to say, wow, that tastes good. In other words, God is good because he showed up one more time. He showed up again. But if we just sit and do nothing, one, we don't grow, and two, we don't really see what God's capable of. That's a challenge to me. Isn't that a challenge to you? Anyway, he's good. He's good. Can you say that with me this morning? God's good? Praise the Lord. Yeah, all the time. Let's see. So tonight we have this wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you to show up and serve. We're hoping to have all kinds of people tonight at our fall following Jesus party, and looking forward to rubbing shoulders with folks, shaking hands, greeting folks. Remember, we're going to do that with a smile on our face. We're going to love on them, and we're going to trust God. And it might even be that God would direct you to pray for somebody because you might overhear them talk about a need, or they might communicate that need to you. It'd be okay if you said, hey, can we pray? Can I pray for you right now? And if they're not comfortable doing it there in front of everybody, you can say, hey, we can go over here. And let God show up. Let God move. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll taste and see that God is good. And we'll see how strong he is. We'll see how powerful he is when we step out, when we learn to grow. Verse 4. You are coming to Christ. Are you? Do you continually come to that spring, to that well? Do we come to Christ? You're here today, so yes. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone. Look at that. Jesus is the cornerstone. And we're talking about walls and talking about buildings. The cornerstone's that important piece that ties them together. It's that important piece. And Jesus is the most important piece of our life, isn't he? He is wonderful. He is incredible. He is completely necessary. And some say that Christianity is a crutch, and I say Jesus is my crutch. Absolutely. I need him every day. I don't make any bones about that. I need him, and I want him. But look, he says, he was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. Do you realize that the scripture says that one of these days, every knee is going to bow to Jesus, and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord? Every single one of them. That ever lived or ever will live, every knee and every mouth is going to confess. Forgive me. So I encourage you to do it now. Bow your knee and confess with your tongue that he's Lord ahead of time. Just get some practice in, right? Get some practice in. Verse 5, and you are living stones. Has anybody ever picked up a living stone, the stone that was alive? I mean, neither. The only time you ever picked up a stone was because Dad said, hey, I need this, all these rocks moved over there, right? Otherwise, we leave the stones alone. But look here. This is, again, talking about buildings, talking about this spiritual house. It says, you're living stones. That's believers are the living stones of God, living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. So we're alive. Everybody said, duh, right? We're alive. So we are these living stones that God is using to build his spiritual temple. We're part of God's temple, part of God's house. But look, let's look further. Look at what else it says. What's more, he said, in addition, you are his holy priests. Whoa. Whoa. Time out, right? Me? Yes, you. If you consider Jesus your Lord and Savior, then he has called you to be a priest. Now, hold on a second. Wasn't Peter probably writing this to some other minister? Nope. He was writing it just as simple, regular old believers. Look at it. What's more, you Christ followers are his priests. His holy priests. That's a pretty high standard. That's a pretty high calling for us, isn't it? Better get to growing. Let's get to growing. Right? Build it on that foundation. Build it stone by stone. Those stones, I think, here he's talking about those stones being us as individuals, individual Jesus followers. But I think in our individual home, our individual houses, as we build upon that, those stones are those things of faith. Those are stones that of trust in God. When, time after time, when he shows up and shows off, we say, oh, okay, God, that's awesome. But it's nothing that we do. It's all the stuff that he does. Praise the Lord. He's awesome. So, continue on here. It says, through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Once again, I've said this before, but I think this is anything that we do and make a conscious decision that I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do that because of my relationship with God. I think those are all spiritual sacrifices that please God. I'm not going to do that because that wouldn't honor Jesus. I'm not going to do that because that would distract me. I'm not going to do that over there because that would affect my relationship with him. But instead, I am going to do this because the Bible says I should, because I want to grow. I want to do this because it's going to help me get closer to him, right? Those are all things, that's the attitude that we want to come with when we're trying to figure out what those things are that we should or shouldn't do. And those things please God when we do them with him in mind. Pretty simple, isn't it? So, we're living stones in this building called God's temple. Kind of strange to think about, though, isn't it? But we're parts of it. We're built in. We're there, and he wants us to be there, praise God. Let's look at Isaiah 58, verse 12. Some of you will rebuild. Now, again, this is talking about Israel and Judah after they had disobeyed God. They were going to be hauled away to exile to live in another nation. when later on it was going to be like 70 years and then they were going to be able to come back. And it says, some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Now this is where I want to kind of shift gears just a little bit and say, this sounds incredible to me. Then you'll be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. And it's a little bit different. The walls is a little bit different terminology because back then they used walls to go around their city to be protection. Okay? And the person who has the Lord as their protector is wise. And so we've got to understand that. And then here, after this exile, people would come and they started rebuilding the walls for protection first. But if the Lord is our greatest protector, our greatest provider, the greatest gift that we could ever have, then why don't you and I, as his followers, and let me go back a couple verses, his holy priest, why don't we share that with other people? We're going to have a wonderful opportunity tonight to do that, especially with the pumpkin gospel. And then you and I could be known as rebuilder of walls, even if nobody ever said it or thought it except God. But can I tell you something? I doubt he'll ever see this, but there was a pastor in my life, a couple of them that I just honored dearly in my heart. And I remember I was sitting in this meeting room where they were evaluating my wife and I to become ministers. I think it was for the ordination level with the Assemblies of God. And there's three officials in the room, and one of them was my former pastor, John Veazey. And John, most of the time he always wore a suit. The whole shebang. Please don't judge me. I don't like them. But anyway, so I'm sitting, my wife and I are sitting in this room and sitting across from these three officials, and they did what they did, after it was over, I went up and I hugged my previous pastor, and I hugged him tight, and I wept. I got snot all over his jacket. I still owe him for that. But I wept because he was instrumental in my life and in my family's life. And at the time, the thought was, Pastor, I just want to be used to do the same for somebody else. I just want to impact somebody else like you've impacted me. I want someone else to be in heaven because of my life. I didn't die on the cross for anybody. And even if I did die on the cross, it wouldn't do any good for you like Jesus did. The point being that I want to be a rebuilder of walls. I think that you and I should have that in mind, that we'd be a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Because there's broken homes in this community big time, and probably every single community. But the Lord is still the Lord, and we can do our part to be a blessing to them and introduce them to Jesus. We may not be able to fix all the problems. And as a matter of fact, we can't make any decision for them. But can we at least introduce them to Jesus? Can we at least say, we know somebody. We know somebody who loves you like crazy. We know somebody who went to a cruel, cruel cross for you. We know somebody, and his name is Jesus. Listen, I'm stoked about tonight. I can't wait to see new faces and try to remember some new names. I may have to have a big piece of paper to cheat. But I'm excited about that we just get to be the light of Jesus to others. And some of them are going to already know Jesus, and that's going to be great. But there's going to be others who they don't know Jesus yet. And we get to be that light to them. I'm excited about that. And then, guess what? Then they get to start building, and they become part of the greater building of God's temple as we look in Scripture. exciting stuff. But you know, sometimes we build up walls that we shouldn't build up. Sometimes we build up walls around our hearts to protect ourselves. Sometimes we build up walls even again, so God can't get in. What? Are you crazy? Yeah, we're that crazy. Sometimes we build up walls so that God can't get to certain parts of our hearts. And today, can I just say this? Let those walls come down. Let those walls come down. The other walls of God's salvation that pertain to faith and pertain to understanding Scripture and pertain to being the light of Jesus and showing love. Let those walls be built up. But the walls that we put around our hearts to protect ourselves, when God should be our protector, let those walls fall today. So I have one other scripture I'm going to share. Isaiah 62, verse 6. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. These watchmen are on top of the wall looking out for danger. That ought to be you and me. Being watchmen for others and praying on their behalf. Asking our Heavenly Father to speak to them, to minister to them, to protect them, to provide for them, to whatever's going on. We ought to be those, let me use this word, intercessor. What's an intercessor? Well, I'm glad you asked. An intercessor is one who stands in the gap for someone on behalf of someone else. And really, it's just a big word for praying for folks. It's for praying for people. It's not wrong to pray for yourself. Matter of fact, I encourage it. But if you're the only person you ever pray for, then you're missing it. You need to pray for yourself, but you also need to pray for somebody else, others. If you don't know who to pray for, come and talk to me. I've got a list. But God's good. My wife's going to come to the keyboard. Maybe. You know, well, I didn't do it in the first service, so she may have thought we weren't going to. And I wasn't sure. But what I want to do, I want to open up these altars. Because some of you want to make the decision to be part of that wall, those living stones. Some of you need to make a decision to follow Jesus today. Some of you get to make that decision, say, yeah, I want to be a rebuilder of walls, a restorer of homes. I want to be a watchman on the wall. I want to pray for others' needs. I want to be the light of Jesus.